It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the first pitch from Grove. Line into center field and a base hit. Wade's on his way to third. He's going to be waved. Outman's throw is on the way. No chance. And the Padres walk it off.
Who else? Luis Arraez. First pitch, Hacking. Bullet up the middle. The Padres take game one of this three-game set.
And as it would turn out, the Padres would take two out of three in the three-game set over the weekend. Welcome into Gwynn and Chris, everybody. Getting things rolling here on a new week. Monday program, 2:01 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. there at Petco Park, where the Padres are back in action tonight against the Colorado Rockies. Matt Scraby alongside here at the Odyssey Palace Studios. We get off to a good start this week. Dennis Lynn will be on the program to talk some Padre baseball with us. We got a Padre Pen Pals for you a little bit later on, a little happier version of the Pen Pals, as fans are feeling quite a bit better about things, as the Padres not only beat the Dodgers, Tony Gwynn Jr., but they have won four consecutive series here, two out of three over the Reds, the Diamondbacks, the Cubs, and now the hated Dodgers, and they beat the Dodgers for the second time this year in a series. And even though the Dodgers still sit atop the National League West, I think the Padres making some pretty important noise here. Tony, good weekend.
Great weekend. Beat a very good team, and beat them, I thought, the right way. They played good baseball. Outside of the bullpen kind of collapsing on Saturday, Friday and Sunday were as you would draw it up. And, the Padres got to feel pretty good about that, being able to contain. And I will say this, as good as it feels to go out and take two or three from the Dodgers, if they turn around and don't do at least the same against the Rockies, it's not going to feel as good. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be like it's like the end of the world if they end up not taking care of business.
Yes.
But, it's part of what starts to make – separate your team. When you're taking care of business, like, you don't have a letdown after going out, being dialed in for the last three games, and really you could say the last four series, right? They've been dialed in. But we had gone to Colorado not so long ago, and although we should have won three or four, they set themselves up to win three or four. They didn't actually end up closing. They had another kind of bullpen collapse there. So I just think you want to keep the good times rolling. Here is a team who, although has the longest winning streak in all of baseball right now, I must say, in the Colorado Rockies, yes. Business still needs to be taken care of.
Could not agree more. The Rockies have matched their longest winning streak not only this year, but in the last 2 years. They haven't even had a five-game win streak in the last 2 years. So let's hope that the Padres can keep them from that. But let's finish up the Dodgers series first, Tony. I think if I would have told you and everybody here on Friday heading into the series that the Padres would score only six runs all weekend, that the Padres would hit 198 as a team, and that the Padres would go a lonely 1-for-14 hitting with runners in scoring position, that lone hit being the one we just heard coming into the show from Luis Arraez, probably wouldn't have thought they'd take two out of three games, but that's just how good the pitching was for San Diego, minus that one hiccup of an inning. You're right. I mean, everything else was incredible. Where the Padres hit 198 this weekend, The Dodgers hit 138 this weekend, where the Padres went 1-for-14 with runners in scoring position. The Dodgers went 1-for-19. So, look, the pitching was incredible. The same continues to hold true, Tony, no matter who the Padres are playing, Dodgers included. But when they get an incredible start, a quality start, they win. And when they don't, they're certainly more, it's more likely that they're going to lose. Now, I'm not going to say Matt Waldron did not turn in a quality start. I thought he pitched pretty well. But it wasn't the seven shutties that you got from King on Friday and Darvish yesterday. Padres continue to ride starting pitching to victories. And, it's been the method this year.
Yeah, it has. But, Waldron falls into that same bucket. Like, from your number five starter, you get an outing in which it ends up saying two runs, but it was really one. The bullpen came up and gave up the other one before they gave up the other, four on that grand slam. So, listen, if you're getting those type of starts, Jesse and I were talking about it, it feels like that was a wasted opportunity. You had five innings of one run or two run baseball from your number five starter. And he could have gone longer, but they decided that it was time to bring him out. I think he only had 70-something pitches at that point.
Right, but so, you felt good about Marta Hone the way he's been pitching.
Absolutely.
It just didn't happen for him.
Absolutely, and that was a good example. And you and I, we had this discussion during the roundtable when the conversation came up about Mike Shield having to kind of piece it together in the bullpen. Well, that's an example of why he's had to piece it together, because – just when you think someone's – let's put Robert Suarez aside for a second. Just when you think someone's starting to get hot and going out of the bullpen, they have a hiccup. Whether it's Marty Hone, whether it's De Los Santos, whether it's Ben Peralta, they've all been into that category of look like they're going good, a little step back.
Yeah.
And so that's why he's pieced it together the way he has. And so four straight series, I think that's another thing to keep pointing out. If you keep winning series, you're going to end up on the right side of things for sure.
You are going to get to where you want to go. And
absolutely. Look,
this is my whole discussion last week at the tail end when they were 20-20 is that, to get where they want to go, they're going to have to break away from this 500 mark. And obviously this weekend is a big step in the right direction. But as you pointed out, this is the Rockies coming in and you have a chance to make some hay here and try to, get three or four games over 500 before you had to head out to Atlanta and Cincinnati next week. The other thing that still holds true about the Padres, and it's with great trepidation, Tony, that I say anything that might be misconstrued as negative right now, because I know the fans are so excited with what the Padres are doing. But the fact remains this. They are 21-11 when they have a start by their big four. They are winning the games with Darvish and with Cease and with King and when he's healthy, Musgrove. And they are not winning any of the other games. And that includes Waldron, and that includes tonight Vasquez, who's starting. They are 1-11 in those games. They've got to start finding a way to win some of these games, and tonight is a great opportunity to do that. You're facing Dakota Hudson of the Rockies, who's 0-6 with an ERA over 6. He's not pitched well. You're not playing against a good team. But you said it. Saturday night was a little bit of a missed opportunity because Waldron gave you a great outing. They've got to find a way to win some of these games because that is the way they're going to be able to string together a nice, little run here.
So if they go 4-1 every five games, that's
yeah, right. Well, okay. Circumstances, fine. But, I've got to find a way to win some of these number five starts. And right now it's 3-2 because you've got Vasquez in for Musgrove. I just think tonight's a good opportunity to get this one. Then you got Cease tomorrow. You got King to follow up. I mean, I'm thinking of getting the brooms out. I can't get ahead of myself, but I can't believe that it's not in the back of the mind of Padre fans that, the Rockies coming in, a sweep is what's called for. Sorry. being aggressive.
Are we sure that you're going to be happy with them? They've just let me start that over. Are you happy with them taking 2 of 3 from the Dodgers,
of course,
or are
I am.
You going to be angry about that?
Well, of course I'm happy with them taking 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers. Good. I don't know why you would even ask the question,
because last week after the game where they beat the Cubs on that Wednesday and they moved to 500, you said that
I said I wasn't happy with being 500. That's what I said. I never once said the team stunk. I never once said I was rooting for the team. I said that 500 isn't going to get it done. I don't think that's not accurate.
No, I think that's accurate.
That's clearly not what everybody they heard.
Totally understand that.
We heard a lot of different things.
Yes, you all heard a lot of different
things. Because a lot of people said you had a 50% less conviction on Friday than you did
Wednesday. Well, look, that's why it's with great trepidation that I say anything that might be misconstrued as negative right now, because the Padre fans are certainly feeling themselves, and you have every right to feel yourself. But as Tony pointed out correctly, you have to back it up and take care of these guys this week, so let's hope that that happens. Let's get away from the whole what I said last week, because honestly, it's starting to annoy me that everybody keeps touching
it's
on
starting
the subject.
To annoy you, huh?
It really is.
Well, you said what you said.
All right, fine. What did I say? Tell me what I said.
Scraby, I think it was more.
Tell me what you down too,
either
Chris.
Tell me what I said or tell me what they
heard. Here's what
did
they
hear?
They heard a guy who's coming on after Dylan Cease strikes out 12 batters. They win the third series in a row. They hear a guy who's not happy with the team.
Okay. Well, what they should have heard was that I wasn't happy with the record of 20-20.
And I will back you up that is your point in that.
That's the only point I was trying to make. So if you heard anything else, good for you for coming to the wrong conclusion.
All right, we'll never bring it up again.
That's all I can tell you.
Good for you for coming to the wrong conclusion.
You came to the wrong conclusion.
I missed that. Thank you,
it's
Tony.
All on you guys.
Thank you.
What was the best thing that happened this weekend? Was it the Luis Arraez walk-off hit? Was it the pitching of Michael King? Was it the pitching of Yu Darvish? I beg to say that the best thing that happened this weekend was the home run that was hit yesterday by Xander Bogaerts. And I could not have been happier for this. It snapped an 0-for string. It snapped a long stretch without an RBI. Tony, I hope that this gets him going. Because honestly, you know, it actually bothers me that so many Padre fans, and you call yourselves Padre fans, are so wanting, it seems, this guy to fail so that you can be upset with management for giving him too much money, instead of rooting for a guy that is still a member of your team and rooting for a guy that can help you get where you want to go if he starts, you know, returning to form. And I just hope that yesterday was a sign of that.
I think we all. I definitely am also hopeful that gets him going, because he doubled after that, too.
Yeah, right. Okay,
good. Two good swings after, you know, hit the homer and then he doubled. I think everybody's hoping, you know, everybody in this building is hoping that he gets going, because it only makes the offense tougher to deal with. It lengthens the lineup. Just think how much Luis is lengthening the lineup, you know, moving Profar into a different spot. If Xander gets going, that's a headache now. I mean, you're having to try to figure out who you want to attack. If Kim came, we'll find out a little bit more about Kim, I'm sure, today.
Yeah, that's right. He got HBP yesterday.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm hopeful. You know, he's had, I mean, remember, it wasn't that long ago. He had like an 8-game hitting streak that he was rolling in. And so hopefully it all gets going in the right direction, because it's only going to make this lineup more potent. And it's going to make this team even tougher to deal with. So it was good to see him, though, get loose in that game yesterday and get a homer and a couple extra bases. They weren't like jam shots or off the end of the bat. He squared those two baseballs up.
Yeah, good to see, for sure. Probably made a lot of people feel good. But do you understand, or do you sense what I sense, that for some reason a lot of our fans seem to be almost rooting for this guy to continue to fail?
I don't know that I sense it, and I think that's because I'm not looking at it like you are most of the time. Like, I'm not on X, which I assume most of the fodder comes from as it pertains to...
Oh, that and this show, you know. I mean, every time we open up the phone lines, we have to get rid of Xander Bogaerts, so...
Well, they're not getting rid of him. And, you know, sometimes we fall into the, like, woe is me type deal. Like, yes, Xander signed a big deal here, and he didn't have his best year last year, and he's got off to a slow start. That doesn't doom everything. So You know, this is kind of how I think people deal with the, you know, the issue of him not swinging a bat well. I don't think they are wishing that he doesn't get it going, because it would make it be counterproductive for their own, you know, what they want to happen, which is the team playing well. So if that is the case, we got to kind of change the mindset a little bit. I mean, it's one thing to recognize that a guy is struggling, but rooting against him certainly doesn't help your own interest at this point.
Yeah, if you're going to root against somebody, you should have rooted harder against Will Smith while he was here. But we'll discuss that a little bit later on.
Wow, man, hey, hot sauce there.
I didn't hear enough booing.
You looked at the ahead at the questions in the Big Five. Huh?
I know I didn't hear enough booing, and I'm looking forward to discussing that a little bit later in the program. But
I have one more thing. I'm going to ask you guys a question, then we have to go to break and answer it on the other
go
side.
Go for it.
Yesterday I saw red, guys, and I wanted Mike Schilt to retaliate for Fernando getting hit in the back yesterday and Ha-Seon Kim getting hit in the same inning, and I want your guys' thoughts about that when we get back.
We'll sort it out and continue the opening discussion of our program on this Monday, following a very nice weekend for the Friars as they take 2 out of 3 from the vaunted Dodgers. The Rockies come in. We'll talk about what that means and everything else. Lots to come on Gwynn and Chris here till 5:30 ahead of Padres pregame and all the rest of it. Welcome to 97.3 The Fan, everyone.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skim, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because in 2 minutes...
2:22 on the clock, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. I'm going to read you guys a quote. And it comes from manager Dave Roberts. This goes back to Friday after the game, after the walk-off. I just felt that if we could pitch our eyes carefully, we'd get a chance to get to the on-deck hitter, which was Fernando Tatis, explaining why he didn't intentionally walk our eyes, the reigning National League batting champion San Diego acquired from Miami in the last trade. You kind of pick your poison right there. I call cap. It was never going to try to pitch around a rise. I know it sounds good, Fernando Tatis is on deck. They're not pitching around him. This is how it goes.
Really? Yeah, he took a lot of heat for that because Luis Arraez got a hit and won the game.
Exactly.
So Dave Roberts made the wrong move, and he's an idiot.
Yeah.
No, the thing of the matter is, the Padres have one of the best and most dynamic players in all of baseball on deck, and that's one of the reasons why you bat Fernando after Luis Arraez, so that you have to pitch to Luis Arraez. It was a bad pitch.
It was a horrible pitch. He threw it right down the middle.
Yeah, it was first pitch fastball right down the middle, and you can't do that with the game on the line. And that, so, again, you're right, Tony. I mean, guys don't execute. Managers are stupid.
Yeah.
Guys execute. Managers are brilliant.
It's all capped.
It's been that way forever.
They were going to pitch to Arraez, who, you know, could get the ground. He's more likely to hit the ground ball double play, or he's ground to make an out there than the freaking blast a single right up the middle.
Was he 0 for 3 at that point? 0 for 4 maybe?
And he was 0 for at that point. It was his first knock of the game. So, I digress. Scraby teased, what did you tease again? Before
Fernando getting hit in the back, Ha-Seong Kim getting hit before that.
Matt Scraby wants blood.
Why didn't Mike Schilt retaliate? I was like, yesterday when it happened, I just go, it's time. It's time,
no, it's,
Mike.
Wasn't time.
It's time.
Wasn't that time.
And then I realized
time.
That you, Darvish, had you know a no-hitter not time? Going, and so.
How many times have the Padres played the Dodgers, had like a 3-run lead, a walk, or something silly, something that is an unforced error happens, and then the avalanche comes? Just you want to win that series.
Yeah.
Wrap that bad boy up. It's the third game of the set. You got a 4-0 lead, or 3-0, whatever the lead was at that time. Get the win. You got these guys two more series in the year. If you really feel strongly about it, you can take care of it then.
Yeah, but Tony, come on. Team, people are hitting Fernando without impunity right now.
Yeah,
that's what Scraby's saying.
I know. I know that's the sentiment. First, you know, maybe it's Toddy's own fault. He's so flexible. He should have been hitting more times. He's only been hit twice.
Yeah,
right?
How he gets out of the way of some of that
he gets
stuff
out of the way of a lot of pitches that probably should hit him. But I get it. Like, yeah, he's been knocked down too much. Mike has already kind of addressed it in terms of that. But you're not trying to – when you get hit with a cutter in the lower back – and you have you're weighing that between retaliation and trying to finish a series where you could take two or three from the Dodgers. I just don't think you mess around with it. There are more opportunities to get some get back if that's what you really want down the line. It does not have to be same day, same next day, or even same series. It's better, honestly, in terms of maybe, you know, not getting suspended or being able to kind of hide it a little bit. If you wait, if you do it in the same series, we already are missing Joe Musgrove. You can't. The bullpen has been outside of Suarez, hasn't been consistent. Do you really want to lose a guy to suspension or any of that right now? Like, let's just wait it out.
And after I thought about it, and after I stopped seeing red, I was like, I'm glad I don't manage the San Diego Padres because I would have sawed someone's head off on the next time out. But
well,
you would have had us all messed up.
I would. But
earlier in
the
season,
game of
when
baseball,
you were panicked,
the game of baseball is built all around patience. I've learned over the years, and I just have
you
none
haven't learned
of
it over the years.
No,
you haven't learned it.
I've learned that the game of baseball is all about patience and the right.
You're just
times
not exercising. What you're learning, is that what you're saying?
It's not my like how my brain works.
You have not applied what you've learned. I think a lot of what you're saying though is on the minds of a lot of people, right? I mean, Fernando's getting brushed back, he gets hit. You want to do the same, but Tony's right. I don't know that a 4-0 lead over the Dodgers with a shaky bullpen,
no, you're right,
is the time to do it.
You're right.
And to give you an idea just how shaky things can get and how quickly they can get shaky, you know, two outs, nobody on, eighth inning, Barnes lobs one over shortstop, Betts hits a grounder into the hole, the ball gets stuck in Wade's glove a little bit. Now there's first and second.
Yeah.
Now there's Freddie Freeman, and you're one swing away from 4-3.
No, that's a good point.
And I got to tell you, I commend Mike Schilt on a decision that worked out. But I got to believe he was at least thinking of bringing Suarez in there, except for the fact that it's lefty-lefty. But lefty-lefty be damned. I still would have almost rather had Suarez face Freeman than, you know, Wandy. But Wandy made a beautiful pitch on that 3-2 breaking ball, and Freeman gave up on it. got the strikeout. But that's where managers make their money right there. I mean, the game was kind of hanging in the balance all of a sudden.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it today because, you know, the Padres ended up winning the game. But in the moment, absolutely. But you know what, Chris? As much as there was, you know, a pull to go get Suarez, if the Padres want to get where they're going, guys like Wandy Peralta are going to pitch in those spots and get those outs.
And Schilt's done a great job of that all year, letting guys get what they need to get.
What they need to get. What they need to get.
No, that's good. Good call.
I got to say, when we were Sam Levitt and I were sitting in the press box when the eighth inning happened on Friday night, and when Yuki Matsui came in to face those guys, it's like, that was scary, but it ended up working out. So you just have to trust Mike Schilt knows what he's doing, because Yuki Matsui hasn't been the most accurate as of late. He hasn't been hitting his spots, but he came in and he got out of the inning. And he needed to get out of there.
I think it's important to distinguish, you know, the manager is going to always know better than we know, right? However, all of his moves ain't going to always work. So it gives us room to question it. But there are so many different things that go into why you're bringing somebody in here. I mean, everything from how many pitches he threw his last outing, when's the last time he threw, how much rest has he had, what are the numbers like between these two guys, how is he doing versus this side of the plate, you know, whatever the case. There are just so many different things that go into making those decisions. And for the most part, I think Mike has been correct on all of them. Now, people haven't come in and had the success or did the job that was asked of them to do. That's not, I don't think he's put anybody in a bad situation or a situation that they can't win. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes it just boils down to who's going to get the job done. And last night, Wandy Peralta came in and it got dicey. Chris is 100% right. Freeman hits a home run. All of a sudden, everything starts to get a little tighter. And, you know, what happens at that point? But Peralta made a terrific pitch on Freeman, a little front door slider, I think it was. Locked him up, ended the inning, and that was all she wrote for the Pods. But the long story short is, those type of things, those type of spots, the Padres are going to have guys step up, and yesterday they did.
That's for the Padres.
As I say, I don't know the diatribe is that good. Round of applause.
Excellent analysis from the crew here.
Yes, yes.
As we get it. All right. Now the Dodgers are out.
Yeah.
We got rid of that lousy team, but now the Red Hot Rocks.
Red Hot Rocks are in, baby.
Four straight. They just swept the world champs, and I don't know.
The champs are not here.
Give Bud Black a hug for us anyway, Tony, when you see him. I mean, I'm happy that he finally got some wins, but he's still not bringing a great team in here. So
no, I mean, the facts don't change. I mean, they may have won three straight,
yeah,
but the roster is still light.
Chance on the chat makes a great point. Schilt coaching the way he does now just gets the team ready for any situation, which is going to happen in the playoffs. Probably will make it easier for pitchers and hitters to be ready.
What was that?
That was a comment from Chance.
I didn't hear Chance, but I got distracted.
Okay.
With Chance.
Did he not hear me? No, he's basically saying that Schilt coaching the way he does now is going to help guys be ready in the future because they're going to be ready for any situation.
And listen, I'll say this again. I said this. I think last time we talked about it. Trust me, if Mike Schilt had, if he felt confident in a seventh and an eighth inning guy, and to get to Suarez, he would 100%. Be doing that. But as it has, you know, as it's kind of played itself out, he doesn't have that trust built up yet. So he gonna patchwork it together the best way he can in order to get to Suarez, who I think he has ultimate confidence in after, you know, the few, what, five inning saves. He hadn't had five out saves. Hasn't had a two inning save yet.
I actually think he came in the maybe the last out in the eighth inning to close that inning out.
Well, he has a five out and a four out for sure, least.
So either way, we know he's confident in that part. But
I will say this: yesterday, his best seventh inning pitcher was the guy he had on the mound, Yu Darvish.
Oh yeah,
oh for sure.
My goodness,
for sure.
I mean, we haven't even given him enough credit.
My guy was just laser focused and was just. I mean, that was one of the better ball to strike ratios we've seen this year from our guys.
Oh, man, that was so good. I mean, against it, that's a, you know, it's a good team.
It's a really good team.
They hit one. Let me repeat what I said it earlier. The Dodgers hit 138 this weekend.
Yeah, 138.
That's it. I mean, the Padres pitching can be that good.
And that's a team that came in having won seven straight.
Yeah.
And were like on fire
of their last
offensively.
16 or something like that.
So,
well
all
done.
Right. Well done, Pods. Keep up. Don't have a letdown now. Here we go. Let's get to break. When we come back, little PPP.
Nope.
Can't wait.
Mr.
Right?
Lin.
Is that right?
Mr.
What
Lin. Dennis Lin.
I thought Dennis was at 340. No, 240? All right. Fine. Dennis Lin it is.
Coming off a weekend full of good news, Padres take 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers. Padres are now 5-3 against the Dodgers this year, have not won the season series since Tony Gwynn's team in 2010. That's a long time. So let's make sure we finish that out. Two more series with the Dodgers. A lot later on this season. The more and more this happens, Tony, the more I agree with you and hate the balanced schedule. I mean, the fact that we don't see the Dodgers. When are they back here? August, September? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think we go there in August.
Yeah.
They come here in September.
I mean, come on. That's just not. I mean, it's not good for any team in any division, not just the Padres and Dodgers.
I think that's when it's highlighted for you. Like when
a
divisional opponent like the Giants, for instance, we don't go back there for a while. Like, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to stop.
I know. We're not going to get it changed.
Because it's not changing.
No, we're going to still have the balanced, quote, balanced schedule, as it were. But for now, Padres looking good against the Dodgers and, creeping up a little bit, getting a game over 500, four straight series wins, and now a chance to make some hay against the Colorado Rockies. Speaking of the Rockies, I've got good news for all of you out there. You can win a pair of tickets to tomorrow's Padres-Rockies game right here on the program today. The first 40,000 fans tomorrow night are going to receive a Joe Musgrove, let me get it here, bobblehead. It includes his dog, and the dog has a bobblehead too.
Yep.
Very nice.
It's my goal now to get Theo and Lucky to meet.
What's that?
Oh,
you want Joe Musgrove's dog to meet your dog?
Yeah, I think they would be friends.
Joe Musgrove probably doesn't want
that. I don't
know
if Lucky got enough home training to meet Joe's dog.
You be quiet.
This dude rolls around in mud like every day.
He's
like,
a dog. Just Joe Musgrove's not going to allow his dog anywhere near your dog.
Yeah, bad. Bad influences.
Theo and Lucky would be best friends. Oh, so I'm another bad influence
now,
with Lucky?
Kylie and Theo is a totally different story. I think
totally
they get along
different.
Like
totally different.
I don't know.
First 40,000 fans will get the Joe Musgrove and Theo bobblehead. Grab tickets at Padres.com/tickets. Or stay tuned for your chance to win a pair on this very program today. Real quick, Tony, before you go, I'll talk more about it later once you get into your preparation, but so much for my dream of a Knicks-Timberwolves NBA Finals.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not done yet,
no. But
it's amazing how things change in the NBA. I say it all the time, but then I didn't believe my own press clippings, and I fell in love with two teams that all of a sudden don't look very good.
Well, the difference is one series has started, the other series has not started, right?
Yeah, right.
Because neither team in the Knicks-Pacers series has won a road game. But on the flip side, both teams have won only road games on the other side.
Yeah,
so,
that's weird.
It is weird. I don't know. I still feel good about the Timberwolves, first of all.
You do?
I do. I don't know that Aaron Gordon's going to go perfect from the field ever again in his life.
Boy, he was on point last night.
I think he actually finished 10 of 11 from the field.
Yeah, he was amazing.
I don't often quote Rudy Gobert, but his quote of, if he's going to be LeBron James for the next, we just have to live with it, basically. And so, again, if he's going to play like that, they're going to have to live with it. I just love Anthony Edwards is relentless.
Isn't he fun?
Relentless.
He's fun. 44 points last night. He did everything he could do.
Yeah.
You know,
but hold on. One more quick point.
Yeah, sure.
And this also is attributed. It's not the quote. It's not a quote attributed from him, but it's about Mr. Gobert. Listen, man, if we're going to be the defensive player of the year.
Thank you, Tony.
I'm going to need you to play like one come playoff time.
Thank
against
you.
The Joker. Okay?
Jokic toyed with him last night. Absolutely toyed with him. And I couldn't
wonder,
agree with you more. I kept waiting for the defensive player of the year to at least show himself at least a little, and it never happened.
Come on, man. I wonder if he was back to tell. Remember the – I don't know if you guys heard the story Jamal Murray told about Joker giving Gobert the business 1 year, and Gobert had like – somebody had switched on to him, and Gobert was yelling, no, I got him, I got him. And Joker turned to him and said, come on, bro, I got 40-something points already.
You
don't
got
me. Right. I wonder if he went back to that last night.
Yeah, Jokic just toyed with Gobert. And I find it interesting that the one game in that series that Jokic really struggled was game two. And that
Gobert
was the game
wasn't
Gobert
even
didn't play.
Right.
So I wonder if Minnesota might not be better off without him. But I'm enjoying that series. I agree with you to a certain extent. Gordon was amazing. Jamal Murray is making 60-foot shots to end the half. But Minnesota's, what do they call him? What did Jordan call him? His Jordanaires, his complimentary pieces.
Yeah,
they're not doing anything for Minnesota all of a sudden. And Edwards is doing it all by himself. The Knicks, meanwhile, you know, they've not had a good record this year without that Anunoby guy. And he missed the game three and four.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's back for tonight or not. But the Knicks, you know, I still like their chances because I don't think Brunson will let them lose. But, you know, that's become a good series, too. All right, there's our NBA stuff for now. We'll get a little bit more of that later. But back to baseball and back to the Padres taking out the Dodgers and our visit with The Athletic's Dennis Lynn. And indeed, visiting with the outstanding journalist, writer who covers the Padres for The Athletic, Dennis Lynn, here on Gwen and Chris. And Dennis, let's start with the weekend and, you know, what the Padres were able to accomplish, taking two out of three from the Dodgers, not just this time, but now for a second time this season. It's still May. The Dodgers are still comfortably ahead in the standings. But what did the Padres say or able, or did they say anything at all to the Dodgers in beating them for a second series this year?
I think it's certainly better than the alternative, right? Yeah, you're winning against a team that kind of dominated you, at least in the regular season, for years and years. So the confidence boost that comes from that and just having kind of a template when you go into the next matchup with those guys. And obviously we've seen that the Padres can beat the Dodgers in a short series in the postseason. But it's a long season. The Dodgers obviously have kind of unparalleled depth, but to show that you can, you know, play your best baseball in really two or three series early this year against those guys, I think that's a big statement to make near the start of the year.
Dennis, you were here for all three of the games, and you've been here over the past, you know, however many years this Dodger-Padre rivalry has kind of kicked into a different gear. What did you think? What did you see different over this weekend that you may have not seen over the, you know, past few years?
Well, I'd start with just the walk-off hit by Luis Arraez, who's been a huge addition, at least for the lineup, and just the fact that in kind of the previous matchups that we've seen over the past few years, it seemed like the Dodgers are always the ones capitalizing in those moments and kind of pouncing on mistakes. And, yes, it did happen to the Padres on Saturday with, you know, just the bullpen kind of melting down again, but that's going to happen at times. But when you get your chances, you got to take them. And the Padres did that over the last three games.
Dennis, is there anything different you're seeing about this Padre team this year as opposed to what you've seen in recent years? I mean, we know that a few years ago they did make the playoff run, but this team, I don't know if it's too early to know this, but it seems like they got a little better vibe, and maybe it's Mike Schilt, maybe it's just the group that they have this year, but I mean, 21-20 seems like it's going to lead to something better.
Yeah, you would certainly hope so. If you're the Padres, you would hope that Fernando Tatis and Xander Bogaerts, especially, and Manny Machado, they all start hitting. And maybe you're not going to get this type of production from Jake Cronenworth and Jurickson Profar all year, but it does seem like a more balanced team, maybe a more coherent roster, and the pitching, as we saw over the last four games, does certainly have a pretty high ceiling when things are clicking, but I just go back to the fact that it just seems like the pieces fit together a little better this year. They still have that star power. They certainly have had to make things, they've had to be just a little bit more creative against the payroll. Some of the constraints they put on themselves this year, but it seems like, yeah, maybe just guys moving guys around or moving the guy out off the team and, you know, importing a guy like Luis Arraez or, you know, Dylan Cease has also been really good so far. Maybe the pieces just fit better together.
Dennis Lynn joins us here, The Athletic. And Dennis, you know, as we get into game 42 today, we're talking about this Padre team a little bit differently than when we started the season. There was question marks, left field, designated hitter, possibly rotation, the bullpen probably was one of the least, things that they needed to address coming into the season. Now, here we are 42, 43 games into the season. Has that changed from your perspective? I assume DH, left field have gotten to a spot where, at least for now, it doesn't necessarily need to be addressed. But for you, from looking from the outside, where is that spot that needs to be addressed? Or have you seen it, develop in a way that, they may not need to address it?
No, I think you're right, Tony. The bullpen, yeah, I mean, I thought it was going to be a little steadier than it's been, although Robert Suarez has been, I think, better than all expectations would have led you to believe going into the season. But, in center field, for example, Jackson Merrill's really solidified that spot as a guy who's never played that position before, and he's obviously holding his own in offense as well. So they've had, I think, on balance, more positive or more surprising developments than the negative ones. But I go back to the bullpen, and I think maybe just from an overarching standpoint, the depth of the roster, what happens if one of your starters goes down? We've already seen that a couple times with Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove. Like, who picks them up? And now you have a slightly more shallow farm system to deal from, if that's what AJ Preller's going to do again, possibly for, another reliever, another starter before the trade deadline. So I think, yeah, the depth is probably something that will come up throughout the year. And go back to the Dodgers, that's just what they have in spades, because right now seems like they're missing half their pitching staff, but they were still able to hold the Padres to, I think, 6 runs over the past 3 games. So it seems like the Padres are in a pretty good spot. I just think we'll have to check back a month or two from now and kind of see where things are at.
Dennis Lynn from The Athletic is with us. Appreciate the time as always, Dennis. Let me ask you about Mike Shildt. Your thoughts on Mike Shildt, obviously got to know him a little bit the last couple of years as part of this organization, but what did you think about Mike Shildt coming into this season as a manager, and how has that either changed, or how has Mike Shildt made you kind of keep on believing the same thing in your time spent with him?
Well, I think you take a guy who obviously had success in St. Louis, going to the postseason several times, and I think even in 2020 when he came to Petco with the Cardinals, and the Padres obviously won that series in postseason. You might remember, like, those guys, they played, like, I think a bunch of, like, 53 games or something in 44 days. It was crazy. So they were kind of fried by the time they got to Petco, but they still put up a pretty competitive fight against the Padres. So he seems to have a way of getting guys to buy into small things leading to big things, and don't try to get ahead of yourselves. I know every manager preaches that, but just remember, just like they lost 5 in a row and blew a game in Colorado that they I think it was like one of the biggest leads the Padres have blown in the eighth inning or later in like 40 years. So that doesn't feel like too long ago, but look at what's happened since then. They've played better and pretty much all facets, and you're starting to see some of the little things, the details, the little details that were stressed early in the season start leading to more consistency. So I think he's proved that, he can take a talented group of guys and get them to maybe buy into things that they weren't typically doing. Now we'll see if he can, hold it through the course of a long season, but certainly the first couple of months of the season will lead you to believe that, he's got a way of, just getting through to guys in terms of just emphasizing fundamentals and little details.
Yeah, the buy-in does seem to be at a higher level than I feel like we've seen in the past. Dennis Lynn joins us here via The Athletic. And Dennis, you know, the Padres already, you mentioned the Luis Arraez move. They made that move in relatively early in those, you know, considering where we are in the season. At what point do you think the market starts to shape up? Because right now, if you look at the standings, there ain't a lot of teams out of it at this point. So, you know, will that take longer for the market to develop in terms of the trade deadline because there are so many teams in it? Will we be waiting to the last minute to kind of figure out who thinks they're in it, who's not?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, Memorial Day traditionally used by a lot of front offices, maybe not the Padres this year, is kind of, well, let's step back and gauge where we're at and maybe make some big picture decisions from there. Obviously, the Padres have already made those two big moves you alluded to. And that's, I don't think that's ever really happened in baseball modern history. Just like two players of that magnitude, Dylan Cease and Luis Arraez getting acquired. Bay or Saint Louis, whatever you want to call it. More teams jockeying for playoff position than in most years in the past.
Coming off a weekend full of good news, Padres take 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers. Padres are now 5-3 against the Dodgers this year. Have not won the season series since Tony Gwynn's team in 2010. That's a long time, so let's make sure we finish that out. Two more series with the Dodgers a lot later on this season. The more and more this happens, Tony, the more I agree with you and hate the balanced schedule. I mean, the fact that we don't see the Dodgers. When are they back here? August, September? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think we go there in August.
Yeah.
They come here in September.
I mean, come on. That's just not – I mean, it's not good for any team in any division, not just the Padres and Dodgers.
I think that's when it's highlighted for you, like when
a
divisional opponent like the Giants, for instance. We don't go back there for a while. Like, so
– Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to stop –
I know. We're not going to get it changed.
Because it's not changing.
No, we're going to still have the balanced, quote, balanced schedule, as it were. But for now, Padres looking good against the Dodgers and, you know, creeping up a little bit, getting a game over 500, four straight series wins, and now a chance to make some hay against the Colorado Rockies. Speaking of the Rockies, I've got good news for all of you out there. You can win a pair of tickets to tomorrow's Padres-Rockies game right here on the program today. The first 40,000 fans tomorrow night are going to receive a Joe Musgrove, let me get it here, bobblehead. It includes his dog, and the dog has a bobblehead too.
Yep.
Very nice.
It's my goal now to get Theo and Lucky to meet.
What's that?
Goal
you want Joe Musgrove's dog to meet your dog?
Yeah, I think they would be friends.
Joe Musgrove probably doesn't want
that. I don't
know
if Lucky got enough home training to meet Joe's dog.
You be quiet.
This dude rolls around in mud like every day.
He's
like,
a that's dog.
Just Joe Musgrove's not going to allow his dog anywhere near your dog.
Yeah, bad. Bad influences.
Theo and Lucky would be best friends. Oh, so I'm another bad influence.
Now,
with
Kylie, Kylie and Theo is a totally different story. I think
totally
they get along
different.
Like
totally
clams.
Different.
I don't know.
First 40,000 fans will get the Joe Musgrove and Theo bobblehead. Grab tickets at Padres.com/tickets. Or stay tuned for your chance to win a pair on this very program today. Real quick, Tony, before you go, I'll talk more about it later once you get into your preparation. But so much for my dream of a Knicks-Timberwolves NBA Finals.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not done yet.
No.
But it's amazing how things change in the NBA. I say it all the time, but then I didn't believe my own press clippings. And I fell in love with two teams that all of a sudden don't look very good.
Well, the difference is one series has started, the other series has not started, right?
Yeah, right.
Because neither team in the Knicks-Pacers series has won a road game. But on the flip side, both teams have won only road games on the other side.
Yeah,
so
it's weird.
It is weird. I don't know. I still feel good about the Timberwolves, first of all.
You do?
I do. I don't know that Aaron Gordon's going to go perfect from the field ever again in his life.
Boy, he was on point last night.
I think he actually finished 10 of 11 from the field.
Yeah, he was amazing.
That's if he, I think, you know, I don't often quote Rudy Gobert. But his quote of, if he's going to be LeBron James for the next, we just have to live with it, basically. And so, again, if he's going to play like that, they're going to have to live with it. I just love Anthony Edwards is relentless.
Isn't he fun?
Relentless.
He's fun. 44 points last night. He did everything he could do.
Yeah.
But hold on, one more quick point.
Yeah,
sure.
And this also is attributed. It's not a quote attributed from him, but it's about Mr. Gobert. Listen, man, if we're going to be the defensive player of the year.
Thank you, Tony.
I'm going to need you to play like one come playoff time
against
the Joker. Okay?
Jokic toyed with him last night. Absolutely toyed with him. And I couldn't agree with you more. I kept waiting for the defensive player of the year to at least show himself at least a little, and it never happened.
Come on, man. I wonder if he was back to tell. Remember the – I don't know if you guys heard the story Jamal Murray told about Joker giving Gobert the business 1 year, and Gobert had like – somebody had switched on to him, and Gobert was yelling, no, I got him. And Joker turned to him and said, come on, bro, I got 40-something points already.
You don't got me.
Right. I wonder if he went back to that last night.
Yeah, Jokic just toyed with Gobert. And I find it interesting that the one game in that series that Jokic really struggled was game two. And that
Gobert
was the game
wasn't
Gobert
even
didn't
in
play.
Right.
So I wonder if Minnesota might not be better off without him. But I'm enjoying that series. I agree with you to a certain extent. Gordon was amazing. Jamal Murray is making 60-foot shots to end the half. But Minnesota's, what do they call him? What did Jordan call him? His Jordanaires, his complimentary pieces.
Yeah,
they're not doing anything for Minnesota all of a sudden. And Edwards is doing it all by himself. The Knicks, meanwhile... you know, they've not had a good record this year without that Anunoby guy. And he missed the game three and four.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's back for tonight or not. But the Knicks, you know, I still like their chances because I don't think Brunson will let them lose. But, you know, that's become a good series, too. All right, there's our NBA stuff for now. We'll get a little bit more of that later. But back to baseball and back to the Padres taking out the Dodgers and our visit with... The Athletics' Dennis Lynn. And indeed, visiting with the outstanding journalist, writer who covers the Padres for The Athletic, Dennis Lynn, here on Gwen and Chris. And Dennis, let's start with the weekend and, you know, what the Padres were able to accomplish, taking 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers, not just this time, but now for a second time this season. It's still May. The Dodgers are still comfortably ahead in the standings. But what does... What the Padres did? What did the Padres say, or able? Or did they say anything at all to the Dodgers in beating them for a second series this year?
I think it's certainly better than the alternative, right? Yeah, you're winning against a team that kind of dominated you, at least in the regular season, for years and years. So the confidence boost that comes from that, and just having kind of a template when you go into the next matchup with those guys. And obviously, we've seen that the Padres can beat the Dodgers in a short series in the postseason. But it's a long season. The Dodgers obviously have kind of unparalleled depth, but to show that you can, you know, play your best baseball in really 2 or 3 series early this year against those guys, I think that's a big statement to make near the start of the year.
Dennis, you were here for all 3 of the games, and you've been here over the past, you know, however many years this Dodger-Padre rivalry has kind of kicked into a different gear. What did you think? What did you see different over this weekend that you may have not seen over the, you know, past few years?
Well, I'd start with just the walk-off hit by Luis Arraez, who's been a huge addition, at least for the lineup, and just the fact that in kind of the previous matchups that we've seen over the past few years, it seemed like the Dodgers are always the ones capitalizing in those moments and kind of pouncing on mistakes. And, yes, it did happen to the Padres on Saturday with, you know, just the bullpen kind of melting down again, but that's going to happen at times. But when you get your chances, you got to take them. And the Padres did that over the last three games.
Dennis, is there anything different you're seeing about this Padre team this year as opposed to what you've seen in recent years? I mean, we know that a few years ago they did make the playoff run, but this team, I don't know if it's too early to know this, but it seems like they got a little better vibe, and maybe it's Mike Schilt, maybe it's just the group that they have this year, but... I mean, 21-20 seems like it's going to lead to something better.
Yeah, you would certainly hope so. If you're the Padres, you would hope that Fernando Tatis and Xander Bogaerts, especially, and Manny Machado, they all start hitting. And maybe you're not going to get this type of production from Jake Cronenworth and Jurickson Profar all year, but it does seem like a more balanced team, maybe a more coherent roster, and the pitching, as we saw over the last four games, does certainly have a pretty high ceiling when things are clicking. But I just go back to the fact that it just seems like the pieces fit together a little better this year. They still have that star power. They certainly have had to make things, they've had to be just a little bit more creative against the payroll. Some of the constraints they put on themselves this year, but it seems like, yeah, maybe just guys moving guys around or moving the guy off the team and, you know, importing a guy like Luis Arraez or, you know, Dylan Cease has also been really good so far. Maybe the pieces just fit better together.
Dennis Lynn joins us here, The Athletic. And Dennis, you know, as we get into game 42 today, we're talking about this Padre team a little bit differently than when we started the season. There was question marks, left field, designated hitter, possibly rotation. Actually, the bullpen probably was one of the least, things that they needed to address coming into the season. Now, here we are, 42, 43 games into the season. Has that changed from your perspective? I assume DH, left field have gotten to a spot where, at least for now, it doesn't necessarily need to be addressed. But for you, from looking from the outside, where is that spot that needs to be addressed? Or have you seen it, you know, develop in a way that, you know, they may not need to address it?
No, I think you're right, Tony. The bullpen, yeah, I mean, I thought it was going to be a little steadier than it's been, although Robert Suarez has been, I think, better than all expectations would have led you to believe going into the season. But, I mean, in center field, for example, Jackson Merrill's really solidified that spot as a guy who's never played that position before, and he's obviously holding his own in offense as well. So they've had, I think, on balance, more positive or more surprising developments than the negative ones. But I go back to the bullpen, and I think maybe just from an overarching standpoint, the depth of the roster, what happens if one of your starters goes down? We've already seen that a couple times with Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove. Like, who picks them up? And now you have a slightly more shallow farm system to deal from, if that's what AJ Preller's going to do again, possibly for, you know, another reliever, another starter before the trade deadline. So I think, yeah, the depth is probably something that will come up throughout the year. And go back to the Dodgers, that's just what they have in spades, because right now seems like they're missing half their pitching staff, but they were still able to hold the Padres to, I think, 6 runs over the past 3 games. So it seems like the Padres are in a pretty good spot. I just think we'll have to check back a month or two from now and kind of see where things are at.
Dennis Lynn from The Athletic is with us. Appreciate the time as always, Dennis. Let me ask you about Mike Shildt. Your thoughts on Mike Shildt, you know, obviously got to know him a little bit the last couple of years as part of this organization, but what did you think about Mike Shildt coming into this season as a manager, and how has that either changed or how has Mike Shildt made you kind of keep on believing the same thing in your time spent with him?
Well, I think you take a guy who obviously had success in St. Louis, going to the postseason several times, and I think even in 2020 when he came to Petco with the Cardinals, and, you know, the Padres obviously won that series in postseason. You might remember, like, those guys, they played, like, I think a bunch of, like, 53 games or something in 44 days. It was crazy. So they were kind of fried by the time they got to Petco, but they still put up a, you know, pretty competitive fight against the Padres. So he seems to have a way of, getting guys to buy into, you know, small things leading to big things, and don't try to, you know, get ahead of yourselves. I know every manager preaches that, but just, remember, just like they lost 5 in a row and blew a game in Colorado that they, I think it was like one of the biggest leads the Padres have blown in the eighth inning or later in like 40 years. So, you know, that doesn't feel like too long ago, but look at what's happened since then. They've played better and pretty much all facets, and you're starting to see some of the little things, the details, the little details that were stressed early in the season start leading to more consistency. So I think he's proved that, you know, he can take a talented group of guys and get them to maybe buy into things that they weren't typically doing. Now we'll see if he can, you know, hold it through the course of a long season. But certainly the first couple of months of the season will lead you to believe that, you know, he's got a way of, you know, just getting through to guys in terms of just emphasizing fundamentals and little details.
Yeah, the buy-in does seem to be at a higher level than I feel like we've seen in the past. Dennis Lynn joins us here via The Athletic. And Dennis, you know, the Padres already, you mentioned the Luis Arraez move. They made that move relatively early in those, you know, considering where we are in the season. At what point do you think the market starts to shape up? Because right now, if you look at the standings, there ain't a lot of teams out of it at this point. So, you know, will that take longer for the market to develop in terms of the trade deadline because there are so many teams in it? Will we be waiting to the last minute to kind of figure out who thinks they're in it, who's not?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, Memorial Day traditionally used by a lot of front offices, maybe not the Padres this year, is kind of, well, let's step back and gauge where we're at and maybe make some big picture decisions from there. Obviously, the Padres have already made those two big moves you alluded to. And I don't think that's ever really happened in baseball modern history. Just like two players of that magnitude, Dylan Cease and Luis Arraez getting acquired today or Cinco de Mayo, whatever you want to call it. More teams jockeying for playoff position than in most years in the past when there weren't, you know, 12 spots open, but also maybe create some openings for sellers and make it a sellers market, which I think it kind of was last summer. So I think there still are teams who are going to be realistic about their chances heading into the trade deadline. So that's going to open some things up. But yeah, I think if you're looking at teams making decisions like the Marlins already have made to kind of tear it down, I don't know how many teams are doing that outside of like maybe the White Sox and maybe one or two other teams, the Rockies. But I don't know how much those teams have to sell right now. I just think it's going to take a little bit longer to get a sense of which other teams might join them. But I still think there's definitely going to be sellers if we get close to July.
Dennis Lynn from The Athletic. Dennis, as always, really nice catching up with you. Look forward to seeing you out at the ballpark. Thanks for your great insight on the Padres. And keep up the good work, man. We'll talk to you soon and catch up with you down the road.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Dennis Lynn there from The Athletic. Sorry about that connection. Kind of faded there a little bit at the end, but I think we caught most of it. And right now, Padres feeling good. Four straight series wins. And now the Rockies coming in tonight. And Padres, as I said earlier, got to win some games when Vasquez starts. They haven't won a game yet that Vasquez started. Not always his fault. But you got to get him some runs, get him an early lead, let him settle in, get comfortable, get some wins when some of your other guys are going to the mound. Padres have not yet proven they can do that, although they proved a few other things over the weekend by taking down the Dodgers. When we come back, Daily Gambit kicks off hour number two, Gwen and Chris.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.